very simple. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to know, can these bones live? Turn to somebody else and say, I need to know, can these bones live? Turn to somebody else and say, God's got the answer. Can these bones live? I have stumbled upon this by way of the Holy Spirit, and I thank God that I'm in a place in my life where I don't want to preach anything because I have to. I want to preach because I've got something to preach. And when perusing through things and thinking about God and what he would have to bring for us to hear today, I saw this, really funny how this came about, on Facebook. Somebody threw this up there, and I had been looking at and thinking about the three Hebrew boys, and it just stayed in my spirit, Ezekiel 37. And the more I looked at it, and the more I studied it, and the Lord kind of really impressed this upon me that oftentimes we have these types of questions ourselves. And we ask, can these bones live? And we may not ask it in that particular fashion, because maybe it's not bones as you see scattered around the pulpit area today, and even we've got Mr. Bones here among us, where Deacon Weekly usually sits. And you think about it, brothers and sisters, that we all have questions when we come upon circumstances. Can this really happen? Can this be? I just don't believe that you're human if you've never had a question like that. I don't know about you, but we don't always have the answers. And you have to watch people who always have an answer. The Bible says be slow to speak, slow to answer, swift to hear. And sometimes I've discovered that the best answer is I don't know. But just because you tell someone you don't know, it doesn't mean you're not connected to the one who knows. And what we come upon in this text today really is, you all have heard of defibrillators. And when someone has a heart attack or goes into cardiac arrest, they have to get the machine and they've got to charge it and they've got to put it on the person's body. They yell clear. And preferably the hope is that the person's heart would begin pumping again and they would come back to life. And this is one of those passages of scripture. And I sense what the Spirit of God is trying to do for us is, in a sense, drop on us some spiritual defibrillators. And this is one of those passages of scripture where we look at it. Usually there are two, and they put them on you. You've got the Holy Spirit on one side and on one arm of the defibrillator, and you've got the Word of God on the other side. And sometimes we try to do it without the Word, and sometimes we try to do it without the Spirit. And this is a text that shares with us that if we desire, if we want things that God has, that God wants in our lives, that we need both the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And I don't know about you, but there are circumstances even in my own personal life where I look and say, man, God, that's dead, but I know that you can do something about it. I know it may be dead, it may be dormant, and we look at this text and see that Ezekiel, I'm going to do some teaching first. We see in this text that we see that Ezekiel is brought to a valley. The word valley here is just a plain of dry bones. I thought about going and buying a whole bunch of bones and just scattering them all over the room, but obviously I'd have to go to the cemetery and get some human bones, because some of us are so sophisticated they look and say, that's not a human bone, that's a dog bone. So I said, okay, let's help me, Lord. And it's just a valley of dry bones. Can you imagine? We live in a valley. Can you imagine the picture? Just bones everywhere. I would, but that some educator would say, I see bones when I go to school, when I walk into school, and I just see bones. Some of us would say, I see bones when I come into the church. Just see dry bones, just dry bones. Or when I go to my ministry meeting, just dry bones. When I go to my job, just dry bones. When I go home, I know the bones seem like they're talking, but they're just dry bones. And this is serious. And you wish to God that life would come. And you really have to be careful because here is a valley of dry bones, and it says it's an open valley. And in other words, it's saying this is really the floor of the valley. They're just laying along the floor. And their bones, their limbs, their bodies, body parts, their members. Can you imagine some kids' bones lying around and some adult bones lying around? And they may have, bless you, they may have some pets lying around. And they're just dry. It's a picture of ultimate devastation. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced some devastation in my life. And when you've experienced some devastation in your life, it's really hard to believe that God can bring stuff back to life. It's very challenging to believe that when a stream has dried up, it'll flow again. It's very difficult, and it's an open valley. But watch this. The bones, brothers and sisters, were really represented substance or essence. When we take the flesh off that we have in our bodies, they're just bones under this skin. It really just was their essence, and that's why we say when we commit bodies, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, earth to earth, and because at the end of this, there's just a skeleton that is holding in some organs, but you take this skin off, we're all looking like Mr. Bones here, and that's pretty much what is seen here, and you think about their substance, their essence, and some of us, the very essence of us is dry. Who we are is dry. Now watch this. If you can't ever get excited about God, I don't care, fellas, how much you can celebrate the game. You're dry. I mean, just as dry as this carpet. There's something wrong with us, brethren, if we can't shout every now and then about God. Something wrong with us if we always got to sit in a seat because it's just, you know, it's just our seat, it's our seat. We waiting down the seat if we can't never lift up our heads or your gates and be lifted up. Psalm 107, it says three or four times, oh, that man would praise the Lord. You all, brothers, just wave your hand. Would you just wave your hand? Get a little wet. And I'm sure that there are some wives who would love to see their husband every now and then. Because, brothers, there are a lot of things that we go through that sometimes just could fix. We don't have to say nothing. Sometimes we just, the Lord sees it. Ladies, something wrong. You can shout on a shoe sale. Shout on a discount. But can't never shout about Jesus. I mean, I just, if anybody ought to shout, it ought to be a woman, particularly a woman who's had some children. Because you could have died having a child. And God chose you, of all people, to allow life to come through you. And when you think about it, we live in a dry area. Stuff catches fire real quick. And it destroys everything in its path. And there's a fire something that is peculiar about dry bones. Dry bones hang out together. It's a valley of dry bones. There's not one bone alive. All of them are dry. And the very essence, maybe your marriage is dry. Maybe your love for God is dry. Maybe your passion for the things of God is dry. Maybe you're singing in the choir is dry. Maybe singing and preaching and coming to church and doing our thing, but it's just dry. Maybe our hope is dry. Maybe your peace is dry, your long suffering. God, my brothers and sisters, would have us today to see that he really, if you look at verse 3, he really doesn't ask Ezekiel. The Bible says, he said unto me, can these bones live? Ezekiel heard it as a question. Because you see, he answered. What does he answer? He says, Lord, thou knowest. But this text provides a lot for us if you come today and you're dry. And your question to God is, can these bones live? The first time I really looked at this passage, before we move on, I went to a nursing home. And I had to leave morning worship. The gentleman who was responsible for going couldn't make it. I think he was ill and couldn't make it. And Pastor Felton says to me, you need to go to the nursing home. And I'm like, the nursing home? He's like, yeah, you need to go and preach and then come on back. I'm like, preaching at the nursing home? So I go to the nursing home. When I went in, the portion where we were having service, the people there were really suffering. And you would think, at least I thought, that there are some wards in those facilities where you would think that the people just can't hear you, they're not paying attention to you. You think that they're just there. And so they're rolling all these people in. I mean, it's like 20 people. And I'm like, and I'm looking through the Bible, like, what can I preach? So I go into the bathroom, I put water on my face, and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, can these bones live? And it messed me up, y'all. It messed me up. I said, man, and I sat there and I said, you know, Lord. I sat down, closed the toilet lid, and I sat down, and I just thought, what could I say that would help them in this portion of their journey of life? That would help them know you can live. When I came here, I thought, can these bones live? You remember some of you who were here during the installation, Pastor Chapman preached from this passage. And think about it, maybe you just got a doctor's report this week. You went in there excited, you know. You went in there quoting a whole bunch of scriptures. And you came out dry. Concerned about your children. Because you're on fire for God. And they're just dry. Here's some things that will help us today. Number one, got to remember how you got to it. Got to remember how you got to this place. Look at verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, the hand of who? The Lord was upon me. If you're in a place that's dry, and God put you there, you got to remember his hand is on you. You got a job that you know you're not qualified for. You need to know God's hand is on you. You're in a marriage that's difficult now, it's dry, but you swore up and down God put you together, and now after 30 years, it's kind of funny, maybe after 2 years. You got to remember, God's hand is upon you. It says, and watch this, not only was his hand upon him, but the text says, and carried me out, what's the next three words? In the spirit. Now, part of our problem is, we agree with him getting us there, but when he gets us to a place, we forget about the spirit. You understand? We'll get out of the spirit in a second. Thank you, God, for this job. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this job. Things get hard at the job. Lord, it must not have been you. Come on, somebody. It couldn't have been you. You wouldn't put me in a situation like this. And we forget that the Bible says they that would live godly must suffer persecution. That if you want to, if you want to reign with them, you got to suffer for it. And we like it so neat and put together, but he says the hand of the Lord was upon me and it carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. And then look what it did. It didn't just carry him, but the spirit what? Set him down. Now watch this. Pay attention to people who don't like to get in the midst of stuff. They don't want to get in the middle of it. I just love Jesus. He's standing, he's hanging on the cross in the middle of two thieves. He is the mediator, which simply means he is the middleman. He's there in the middle of earth's problems. And God, by way of the Spirit, his Spirit takes Ezekiel and sets him down in the middle, good God Almighty, of a valley full of bones. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but whether they were dry or not don't really matter to me. The fact that he was in the valley of bones. I'm sure he didn't rub all on them and touch them to see whether they were dry or not. But somebody in here today is mad at God because he put you in the middle of a dry place. You've been fiddling around at night trying to hit the eject button. You've been praying, Lord, get me out of here. He said, hey, remember how you got here. I'm the one to put you there. Didn't you pray for me to get you that? Did you pray for me to bless you with that man, that woman, to be your wife and your husband and those kids? That job? Huh? Yeah, Lord, but you know, have you seen this place? It's dry. And then look at verse 2. He didn't just take him there, set him there. But verse 2 says, and he what? He caused me to pass by them around about. Part of our problem is, one of the reasons why some of the areas and things in our life are still dry is because we're still sitting in the place where we're set and the Holy Spirit is trying to move us around. He's trying to move you around so you can see what's going on. So you can really see the whole lay of the land. And you're comfortable just, you're so busy thinking about dry. And everything you've been hearing is saying, let me take you, let me show you some stuff. And you're saying, but it's dry. And you say, I know it's dry. And sometimes a situation is dry and we don't really know why. But if he moves us about, if we allow the Spirit of God to move us about, we can find out why it's dry. Maybe there's no water source. Maybe it's a situation here where God had just had enough. It was the imagery of God's people. He shows them, hey, this is going to happen. This is what it is. Sometimes God wants you to look around so you can see judgment. And I'm believing with all my heart that even in God's judgment, he is merciful. I saw a post the other day. What if God handled sin with death on the spot? Wouldn't it be a lot less intriguing? What if the moment we sin, he just struck us dead? I mean, I'm talking about whatever sin you are. But you say, well, that's just a little one. That one too. You know, all I did was flip the bird. That one too. What if on the spot? Somebody done shot it right there. I mean, even with our minds, the stuff we think. Forget about thinking on these things. I'm going to think about what I want to think about. Some of us can't progress in God because our thoughts about him and the things of God are so dry. He's just trying to move you. Your Bible study is dry because you won't move.